when you marry young, you know, some say that it's easier to find someone when you're young, right? Because you kind of grow up together.
Mm-hmm.
And you get older, you're kind of set in your ways. And it's really hard to find someone that complements the way you do things. Like,
welcome to season two of Unscripted and Naked Honesty Podcast with me, your host, Coach Andy. Here, we explore the realities of marriage, self-exploration, and motherhood. This podcast is especially for married couples who have experienced infidelity. I invite you to join me each week as I draw upon my personal reconciliation story and intuition to help others regain a happier and more fulfilling relationship, even if only one spouse is doing the work. Come along on this journey of self-discovery, healing, and honest conversations. I cannot wait for you guys to listen to this episode because I have the love of my life, the lover of my body, my best friend, Jeff, on this episode. And you guys, we are talking about... Oh, before I go into that, I want you to know how authentic this episode is going to be because Jeff has zero idea about what this podcast is about. And I do minimal editing. So you are going to get the real deal. There's nothing we're holding back because we are going to be super transparent and authentic in all of our episodes, really. So today we are talking about ways to reestablish a healthy relationship dynamic, especially after a spouse cheats. So I'm just going to just open this up, Jeff. Just maybe you can just share with our listeners some ways that you yourself, kind of what you did to reestablish a healthy relationship with me after I cheated and or vice versa. So first of all, let's talk about what was not a healthy dynamic in our relationship.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So we're talking, I'm trying to go back to when you cheated. I think we were so far from just a healthy marriage because we were so young that there were probably numerous things, but... Gosh, I don't even know where to start.
Well, is there anything that stands out to you the most that you feel like wasn't healthy to begin with? And then what changed? And it can even be years later, like 15 years later, that it finally clicked with us. Because I know that it was for me, so.
Well, I think really the core to everything is really our faith. And I think... until we both kind of, well, really realized what faith was in our Christian belief system, you know, what we believe, until we really internalized that, I would say that pretty much everything we did was going to, you know, basically be in contrast to our successful marriage. So, and I just think it took a lot of time of growing up. I will just say that the one thing that I admire about myself through the whole thing and with you is that we didn't give up. I mean, that was the only thing really that we decided not to give up and to persevere for whatever reason. And I think that's just part of who you and I are. So I think we're just blessed in that. But I think every other activity when you're outside of the will of God is potentially a, I guess, not advantageous to your marriage. So I think it was just internalizing our own faith and realizing that we are independently, you know, favored children of God. And then if we understood that, then we could give ourselves, you know, completely to the other person, understanding that, you know, I can't complete you and you can't complete me. We just supplement each other and enjoy that, you know, I get to enjoy that you want to support me and to help me, and you get to enjoy that I want to do the same for you. So I don't know. That's complicated.
Actually, I'm going to simplify it because you made a really, really powerful realization here. And I think it's the number one way. And I would almost say it's the only way, but it's like, if you don't do it, if you don't do this, it's going to be hard. And what you basically were saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, is a way to establish a healthy relationship dynamic is basically establish that healthy relationship within yourself, with yourself. And for you, it was establishing that relationship between who you are and who you are with your creator, God, and then bringing that to the relationship. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, very much so. It's interesting. We're talking about this, and it makes me think about just some other things I've been reading, you know, just in news, you know, random stories, you know, as I flip mm-hmm. through articles. And, you know, there's some, and we have personal experience with friends and family, that when you marry young, you know, some say that it's easier to find someone when you're young, right? Because you kind of grow up together. Mm-hmm. And you get older, you're kind of set in your ways. And it's really hard to find someone that complements the way you do things. Like, I wake up at 6:30 every morning and nobody's going to change that about me. You and I, we were so young, got married, and it's like we were figuring it all out. The one difficult thing about that is we had to also figure out who we were as independent, you know, as you mentioned, right?
Yeah.
As independent human beings, and then not feel dependent, right? Like,
I was super codependent.
Yeah, yeah. We both were. And I might still be a little bit. but I mean, yeah, I mean, for us and as Christians, I think maybe that's easy for us to say. And I know there's a lot of Christian couples out there that don't make it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know what else to add to this.
No, that's fine. So, you're right. And I love that you started with that foundation. So I think the first way is to, who are you? Figure out who you are. Who do you feel like you belong to? You know, wherever your beliefs are, whether it's something spiritual, you just want to go into yourself, or you believe in, hey, God has put me on this earth for a reason. Who am I to him? Who am I within myself? But I know for me, being so young, I was clueless and looking for other people to kind of establish that for me. And I know I did with the guy I cheated on, because he was the very first person I was ever with. And so I kind of curated my identity in that, as in, no, now I have to end up with him because he took my virginity. But obviously that's not true. But I was young and stupid, so that played a role. All right. So now that we've established who we are within ourselves somewhat, you're still working on that. Sorry, baby. I got you. What is something else that you think we have done to then strengthen our relationship within each other without feeling like someone else is going to provide that for us?
Oh my gosh, there's a lot of pressure when you don't get prepped beforehand. Okay, repeat the question.
Okay, so for example, I'll use myself. Now that I realize who I am within myself, I'm not necessarily looking to someone else, the person I cheated with, to complete me. So what is the next step to establish a really healthy relationship with me as I am, as a wife to you? Now, what's another way I can strengthen our relationship? Just me, myself, and I. Even if you didn't participate. So that's the question. So within you, how would you strengthen our relationship? I mean, you're already doing it. I can list off things forever, but you have to do that. So I guess something that you're probably currently doing now, but you can give our listeners some tips and advice.
I think, oh my gosh.
Here, I know. Can I try? Ask you a question.
Yes,
so
yes.
A lot of wives feel emotionally distant from their husbands. Okay. And for whatever reason, I know at several points, I feel like you definitely felt emotionally distant from me, and you wanted to be emotionally distant from me because you're getting hurt in some way. So what were some things that you did to reestablish our emotional connection?
Well, I always think that I was pursuing you emotionally. So, for me, I think it's just persistence on my side.
Well, but do you feel like you were holding back emotionally from me? You might have been pursuing me to try to get me to open up, but what about yourself?
I don't know.
Oh.
So for anyone out there that listens to this, if she doesn't edit all this out, I don't think that deeply.
No, that's super honest. You're like, probably right. Guys,
I'm just like, guys don't. I was just, you know, we were in a bad place. Like, I think, you know, you were young, uncertain, looking for something. And I was just super busy working a lot and felt like I couldn't, you know, help, like give you something, you know, that gave you purpose. And then you kind of found your purpose. And, you know, you've been searching for it over the years, you know, but you've reached an identity point where you're like, I look at you and you're like, you're content in who you are and what you're doing. And now I just get to go along the ride with you. You know, it's like we both have our own rides, right? You know, and, you know, sometimes I just get into the passenger seat while you're driving. Sometimes you get in the passenger seat when I'm driving. And it's just...
Perfect. So how do you show me that you're willing to do that? That makes me feel so safe and secure with you.
Knowing your love languages, I think, is important. And I mean, I just try to fulfill you with that. So I try to observe how you're doing. And if there's something I think, like, if you're feeling, you know, I'm not going to claim to know how you feel, but if it looks like you're feeling stressed or anxious or upset or something, you know, I try to inquire and find out what's going on. I'm pretty persistent as far as clarifying whether or not I'm solving something or just listening to you. And I just offer, you know, can I do something for you? Now, I will say that for a lot of men, that might not work, right? Because I'm fortunate that you're direct, right? If you want something, you tell me. Mm-hmm. And if you're not, then I just say, honey, just tell me. And so if you let me know at that point, then I can fulfill, you know, I can help provide whatever it is you need. And maybe that's vulnerability. Now we'll say one area where I could be better is I like to leverage those vulnerabilities in you for laughter. Because nobody else may, but you think I'm funny. So I'll take those things once in a while, those vulnerabilities, and like, can I share one?
Yes.
Yeah. It was even in the last year, she got in the shower where it's strange. She's like, I don't like getting in the shower because I don't like the water when it hits the floor and bounces off and the little water droplets hit her feet, like, and I don't know what you said, but it irritates you.
It makes me feel nauseous.
Makes you feel nauseous. That's right. And so I just kind of, when I said, you come in the shower, and I back away, I'm like, here, I'll put this right on your feet. You know, I'll like make comments. And she's like, Jeff, leave me alone. Like, I can't help but to think that's funny. And then
And he never knew that. It literally was like, last year or 2 years ago? I don't remember.
I don't know. Recent.
But it was recent.
It's a little strange. But there's little things like that you find out about your partner. And I like to laugh about them, but not to the point where I'm, you know, being insensitive and hurting you.
Right.
Yes.
You're not.
Okay.
For that one.
For that. There's others, though, but yeah, maybe not that one.
Not that one. So, again, amazing. So, first foundation in who you are. And then another one, which I think is a really powerful foundation, was what you mentioned was the love language. Knowing your spouse's love language.
Oh, I have something else.
Okay.
I think once you identify who you are, and this is something that came up earlier. We just stayed a night in a hotel room and took a couple kids just to get away for a night. And this morning, she's laying in bed still. It's like noon. You know, we got a late checkout. And I'm like cleaning the dishes. You know, we're like in a little kitchenette place. And the reason I was cleaning everything is because we had no cash. So I couldn't leave like a tip for the housekeeping, and I felt bad. So I'm like, I'm going to at least clean. The room's going to look great. Like, it's going to be clean. All I have to do is take out the trash. And my apologies, we didn't leave a tip. And we're just different, right? So mm-hmm. now we can use our differences to supplement each other. You know, I'm not upset that she doesn't want to do that, right? And she's not upset that I want to do that. We just kind of let each other do the things that we do. And we just try to figure out how to complement each other.
Yeah. And I want to note on that note, because in my head, while he's doing this, I wanted to kind of get after him for it. And I had to like stop myself and be like, if he wants to do it, so what? Let him do it. But a part of me wants to tell you, stop it. Like, I want to be like, and tell him all the reasons why it's unnecessary. But then I'm not respecting you and your choice and what you want to do. And I find that women, us ladies, I'm calling us out, like we tend to quote unquote mother our husbands. And that's where I feel like I start to nag, naggy, naggy, naggy. And I still catch myself wanting to do that. And actually, I feel like I've been catching myself a lot this week. And so just take note of that, because that does not help our relationships at all. If we're just naggy and then telling them what they should or shouldn't make a choice to do for themselves. Like cleaning the room affects me not at all. That's why I was like, oh my gosh, Andy, there's nothing to say. He wants to do it. He wants to be a service to the housekeeping staff. So I'm like, all right. But because I personally wouldn't do that, I tend to want to voice up and say, you shouldn't do it either. But that's not our place. That's not my place. Like, be of service. That's awesome of you. I'm just lazy. I don't want to do it. Like, so you're right. Thanks for pointing out our differences that actually complement each other. So one, know who you are. Two, your spouse's love language. And I'm just going to say number three. I think number three is sex, that sexual intimacy, because the love languages and knowing who you are, I feel like is a non-sexual intimacy you can share with your spouse, but then it's time to get physical if you're both physically able.
Oh yeah. For example, I mean, we're going away to a hotel and we just got like a, you know, it was a one room suite, right? So we weren't going to be very private. So we decided to be intimate before we left the hotel. Like, so we had our own master bedroom suite where we could enjoy each other and take care of all that. And then we can go to the hotel and just enjoy a little time together, but also with a couple kids. And we're still bringing kids because we have the baby. And basically we bring babysitters everywhere we go because she's crazy. Our baby's crazy.
She's a little crazy.
Yeah, if this was our first baby, we might not have 10 other babies.
That's quite plausible. Yes. She's crazy. A good crazy, but crazy.
She just randomly screams. Like the other day, this is totally off topic, but I like to talk. So we're just laying in bed, and I just lean over when my wife's holding the baby, and I just give Laura a little kiss, and she just screams and looks at me like I have been hurting her when my wife isn't around. And that's the look she gave me. My wife looked at me. I'm like, I know this looks bad. Like, I don't know what's going on, but she just randomly screams. And
yeah, she's totally fine. But
what we think, I mean, it sounds like a bone is, I mean, not like the breaking of a bone, but she's screaming like something is.
It's so sudden and piercing.
Yes.
And we've gotten used to it where we kind of know when she's really hurt, but at the same time, it's like, oh my goodness. Literally, did we just pull off a toe?
She's a up and coming diva.
Yes, she is. I cannot wait. This is going to be interesting. Anyway, back to topic. So, and yes, so we made love before we went to the hotel and Jeff brought it up and it was a great idea because in my head, I'm like, oh, we'll find time. It'll be, you know, 12:30. We'll both be exhausted and sure, we'll want to do it secretly. And reality is, no, not really. And it ended up being amazing, by the way. And I'm so glad you mentioned it. And so my point is to be intentional about having sex, being intimate with each other, wanting to deliberately be pleasured by your spouse. Pretty much sums it up.
And the end.
So, guys, take these three ways to establish your healthy relationship dynamic to heart, because I feel like all three, without one or another, is just going to leave things incomplete in a way. I love to work in threes, like the triangle dynamic, you, me, and God. This is the foundation of knowing who you are, knowing yours and your spouse's love language, and then intentionally being intimate and having fun together, literally pleasing each other and enjoying the pleasures of life with your spouse.
I just want to add, like, mm-hmm. you mentioned the sexual relationship or intimacy, but I also know that there are couples out there mm-hmm. that just really don't have sex that much or anymore. But the thing is, they're happy in where they're at in their relationship. So for your relationships out there, even if you don't have sex, but you're both, and again, you have to get at it. You have to get after that. Are you both genuinely happy in your non-sexual relationship?
True.
You know, because, and it might be just age or just, you know, whatever it is, but once a month, once every 2 months, once a week, whatever it is for you, if you both are open about it and can discuss it and come to an understanding, and it's something that you're both content with, then that's the intimacy you need. Because we'll talk about intimacy, and a lot of times for me, it's just being present. You know, I can get after it whenever, but I'm also okay with just the time together. And, you know, I'm thinking about our future together and how intimacy or how that word is going to change as we get older together.
That's true. Would you say that the first two are pretty solid? To have that third one not be as quote unquote necessary.
I just think intimacy can be different for people. And I think just our openness, and some people might consider just thought provoking conversation, you mm-hmm. know, laughter. You know, if that's all you need, God bless you. We need a little more sometimes. Okay, often. But
yeah.
You know, at such a point in our lives where that changes, then we're going to go with it.
Sounds good. I think those were the lasting words, and I like them. Actually, I love them. I love you.
And I love you.
Good. Good. Better said that. All right, guys. Until next time. No matter what emotions you're feeling and what struggles you're facing, you're not alone. By engaging in honest conversations about marriage and relationships, we can all learn how to build healthier connections with ourselves and our loved ones. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to spread the love, please share it on social media, or better yet, leave a rating and review so I can truly connect with you and your feedback. Tune in each week for unfiltered advice that could change your love life. Stay true to you, and I pray you feel super loved today.